Thank you, Brother Danny. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to ask you to turn to the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37, that will be where we'll spend our time together tonight. I want to thank Pastor for this opportunity to preach his word tonight. Of course, we want to continue to pray for Pastor and Tori as they recover, and everyone on the on our COVID list that we're calling, or what we call around here, the COVID Club. Many people, of course, are getting better, and we're so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for your faithfulness. Good crowd on this Sunday night, first Sunday night of the new year, and we'll thank you for your faithfulness and being here tonight. You didn't have to come, but you did, and I'm thankful for it. And appreciate you being here. As I've been kind of thinking about meditating, actually, on the Word of God for the last, really, a couple of weeks, and as Brother Tony was talking about this morning, setting some resolutions and some goals for a new year, I began to think and pray, Lord, what do I really want to do this year? What do you want me to... I believe that all of us need to have a time of obedience, even more obedience to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit in our life. And as I was meditating and praying and thinking, one particular psalm really came to my heart, and that was Psalm 37. So I began to think, well, I know exactly what I feel like the Lord wants me. I want to preach on delight in the Lord. And that was kind of I wanted that to kind of be my theme for this year, delighting in the Lord. That was what I was going to meditate on all through this next year, 2021. And as I began to study this passage of Scripture and read it, reread it, and study it some more, I couldn't just preach on the subject of delighting in the Lord, because there's so much in this passage of Scripture that we just got to keep it in the context instead of drawing just one little part of it out and delighting. Lord, I believe we need to delight in the Lord. Amen? That's important. But there's a whole lot more in this chapter than just the phrase, delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So what I want to do tonight, I want to just kind of preach to you for a few minutes tonight over fretting not. Fret not, fret not, fret not. And maybe help you tonight to help us to navigate from a fretful life to a fruitful life in 2021. Now, Psalms actually provides us for a roadmap. Dr. Weaver did a great job this morning preaching on peace. And this chapter really does give us a roadmap to peace on the highway of life. Psalms also helps us to bring every emotion that we have and bring it into the presence of God. I don't know whether you've realized this, but there is a paralysis to fear. Whenever we begin to be fearful, when we begin to be fretful, we begin to not think right. And fear causes us to act weird. At times, it causes us not to think straight. And really, our emotions sometimes can go haywire, can't they? Has your emotions ever gone haywire? And I know mine has, okay? So it's very difficult at times when our emotions go haywire and we begin to live in a way where our emotions are controlling, that there's really no normalcy, there's no certainty. And we really begin to learn, or we learn, or we develop a sense of living life without joy and being more fearful. And it's very difficult to do that. And of course, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, Psalm 37 is really a psalm for anxious people. And I believe that all of us have had some anxious moments this last year. It's really a psalm for anxious hearts. Now, I don't know exactly when David wrote this. I kind of have my feelings and by studying this, that David wrote this passage of Scripture when he was old, because he said in verse number 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. So I have a pretty good idea that he did it as he was older in his life, and he was looking back and he realized that he was afraid of others. And thinking about, as David wrote this psalm, I'm thinking there were some times he was afraid of Saul. That maybe he was afraid of, of what was going on with Absalom. That maybe even there was a time when he was afraid of Goliath as well. And those are just three of the things that I thought about, but he realized that he was afraid of others, that he was afraid of what was going on around him. And I think it's very symbolic for all of us today, because frankly, isn't it the people that surround us? Isn't it the world that surround us? Isn't it the circumstances that surround us that provide us with so much anxiety in our lives? And we really don't know what to do. We begin to be moved by the flesh instead of being moved by the Spirit. So what is the answer? What is the answer to fret not? Well, I really do believe that we've got to get our eyes off the things of the world. We've got to get our eyes off people. We've got to get our eyes off circumstances, and we have to get them back unto the Lord. We have to get them back to the Lord. So let's read the first few verses of Psalm 37, and let's get the context of what David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has for us tonight. All right, Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, you can read the continuation of this psalm, which is 40 verses long, but I really believe that the first 8 verses are powerful for a couple of reasons. First of all, David tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what not to do. And what is that? Well, he makes it very simple. The first 2 words, and what are they? Fret not. And then again in verse number 7, he says it again. Fret not. And then again in verse number 8, he says it again. Fret not. In fact, the phrase fret not is found these 3 times. It's also found in Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 19, where it says, fret not thyself because of evil men. It's amazing how close those 2 verses are so together. So here we see in this passage, fret not, fret not, fret not. And it helps us to deal with what this term is of fretting. Now this psalm that says to look and stop living full of anxiety and worry and care for evildoers. In fact, the word fretting in your emotions very simply means this. It means to burn. It means to be kindled. It means to be inflamed. It means to be heated, to become heated. It really means to be under its influence. Now, we all know that we're supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that right? Absolutely. Now, Martin Luther said this. He says, we cannot prevent the birds from hovering over and flying around about our heads, but we can prevent them from building their nest in our hair. Now, think about that for a minute. You see, God may allow, and he will allow, circumstances to come in our life, but God never puts anxious care in our hearts. We do it. We do it. We allow the circumstances to come in. We allow people in our lives. We allow the whispers of the devil to come in, and we begin to worry. We have that anxious worry, and fretting has its origin in God. It just doesn't. It has it in the flesh. Isn't it the Lord that says this, be careful for nothing? Isn't it the Lord who says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? So as we look at this thing of fretting tonight, we have to look at it from a fleshly emphasis that, hey, I'm putting this on myself. God is not putting that in there. And God says, fret not. God says, fret not. God says, fret not. And he says it three times here in Psalm 37. Now, not only does the Lord tell us what not to do, and what does he tell us not to do? Fret not. Now, y'all say that with me. What does the Lord tell us not to do? Fret not. But not only does the Lord tell us not to do, he also tells us what to do. And that's why I believe the emphasis on these eight verses are so important. We always put the emphasis on, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But so many times we don't put the emphasis on, hey, what does God want us to do? So how do we navigate from a fretful life to a fruitful life? Well, I'm glad that the Lord gives us some yeses to do. Aren't you glad that God doesn't say no to everything? Aren't you glad for that? I am. Hey, here are the positives, and here's what you can do, not just in place of fear, but listen, you can do these things, and it will drive out fear. And here are those things, and what are they? Let's look at, first of all, number one, the Lord wants us to control our walk. We need to control your walk. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, that simply is this. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Or if you would like to say obey and trust. It's the same principle. Hey, do we remember that word? For there's no other, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to do what? Trust and obey. Now, in this, we see not only a principle, but we also see a promise. Not only do we see a command, but we also see a comfort. And what is it? Well, here's what the command says. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, do you see the combination here between faith and obedience? Faith and obedience always go together. That is, we walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. Amen? And we believe that the Lord, we believe the Lord and we obey the Lord. We obey and we believe that God is going to work it out for our good and his glory. Now, we have to remember something here that's very important, that things never appear as they appear to our human wisdom. They don't do it. Even when things look like they're going totally wrong in our lives, God's still working it out for his eternal purpose. Isn't that right? That's what Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says. Why? So we may be conformed to the image of his son. It's what Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that we learn to trust in the Lord in all of our life. All right? Now, we trust that God is in control, and then we yield to his control. So right where we're at tonight, let's start out by this new year, 2021, of making a decision that we're going to, we're just going to believe God. That we're going to trust in the Lord. That we're going to let him work out everything in our life. Hey, listen, I believe the Lord and I can obey the Lord. And you can too. Can you believe the Lord? Can you believe his word? Can we trust him? Can we trust his word? Absolutely. We sure can. Listen, I can't change everything around me, and I can't straighten everybody else out around me, but I can trust the Lord, and I can obey the Lord. Well, that's a great principle. Then it says to do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is a command to holy living. God expects His people to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to Him. Let me ask you tonight, is your life honoring and pleasing to the Lord? It's a good question. You see, when we do His will, He will take care of us. Jesus said that pray us, give us this day our daily bread. Listen, all I want to know is that I can, there's something I think is very important that all of us understand, and that's this. You can claim the promise once you've applied the promise. Or maybe even let me say this. You can claim the promise once you applied the principle. And that's so important. We've got to claim that. You see, there's a comfort in there. Because, listen, if God's people could ever learn that God is pleased when we live for Him, we could see God blessed in so many great ways. You know, the formula for success in the Christian life is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, it's as simple as trusting in the Lord and living for Him. Now, let me ask you this tonight. Are you trusting Him? Are you living for Him? Not just by what you say, but really by what you do and what you say. Because that's important. So that's the command, trust in the Lord. But there's also a comfort here too. Did you notice that the Lord promises here in the end of that verse? Look at the end of this verse. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, when we do His will, what does the Lord do? He takes care of us. He takes care of us. Jesus said, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we all want to claim that promise. And we all want to think of the old words, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Isn't that beautiful? Now think about that. God will take care of you. So remember, we need to control our walk. And if we control our walk, it simply is to trust and obey, all right? So not only do we need to control our walk, but secondly, we need to condition our will. To condition your will. Notice verse number 4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now this word, delight, means to be pliable. It means to be soft. Our hearts truly find our peace and fulfillment in Him, as Dr. Weaver talked about this morning. Why is it that whenever things get revved up in our life that we tend to not delight in the Lord? We tend to do our own thing instead of delighting in the Lord. This word means take exquisite delight. In who? In the Lord. I think it's very important that notice these trust in the Lord. It says to delight thyself also in the Lord. And then it says commit thy way unto the Lord. And we'll get to that in a minute. But rest. All these things have to do with being in the Lord and seeing them done in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. This is where we find our joy in the Lord alone. Listen, when life goes bad, we tend to focus on the problems that arise around us. And when this happens, we become defeated, we become depressed, and we fall into sadness, don't we? If we could focus on who He is and what He has done for us, that would help us to delight in the Lord. If Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You see, where He's taking us and how much He loves us, and even in our dark days, we can be endured because we know something better awaits us. Why do we need to get down in our lives when we know that the Lord's going to take care of us? How many times have we had the Lord take care of, do something in our life? We're going, Lord, I just don't understand this. But yet we trusted in Him. And then later on, after that trial or after that tribulation, we look back and say, hey, I know what God was trying to do through that. I know what God was trying to teach me through that. Listen, don't set your joy on things or people or circumstances. If they're very good, don't set your affections on them. And if they get bad, don't be dismayed by them. Because why? Your joy is found in the Lord. It's not in circumstances. It's not in people. Listen, if we attempt to delight in God out of a sense of duty, let me tell you what's going to happen. We will not be delightful. It will be drudgery. And I see so many people, Christians today, that are just serving the Lord out of drudgery and out of duty instead of out of delight. Delight in the Lord. You know, God never gives a commandment without providing the enablement, does He? He always provides. Hey, find your delight in who? Find your delight in God. Do you know that the Christian life is to be a delightful life? But why is it so many Christians are so doomed and defeated instead of being delightful? And now listen, that doesn't mean that circumstances are always delightful. And the people you have to deal with are delightful. Well, I know that, okay? But you can always delight yourself in the Lord. And when you do that, I want you to notice what the end of that verse says. Did you notice? He will give you the desires of your heart. Remember the principle and the promise, the command and the comfort? He gives us the command, delight thyself in the Lord. Then He gives us the comfort. He gives us a principle, then He gives us a promise. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now listen, that does not mean that He's going to give you everything you want. Oh, He's not going to give you everything you want. He does the promise to take care of our needs, doesn't He? It means that He puts His desires in your heart, and really what that means, He changes your want to. He changes your desires to His desires. That is so good. You see, He puts His desires in you so that you have His joy abounding in you no matter of what's going on around you. In fact, this word is repeated again in verse number 23. Did you notice what it says? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. Spurgeon said this, our lives are graciously ordained by God. We are not doomed by fate. So thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for that? That we're not doomed by fate? We ought to be thrilled about that. Amen? You see, my friends, your life is in the hands of a good God. And He's ordering your steps. And He's ordering my steps. But did you notice the delight of Him? Now this is good. Did you notice that the delight in Him is on the front side and on the back side? So we delight in the Lord. He orders our steps. And then once He orders our steps, guess what we do? We delight in the Lord. We delight in the Lord. And we do it again. So we learn that God's way is best, and as we follow His way, we begin to just rejoice in the way He has chosen for us. Did you get that? It's not only in the front side, but it's also in the back side. We delight ourselves in the Lord. He gives us the desires of our heart. Then what do we do again? We delight ourselves in the Lord. And then what does He do? He orders our steps, is what verse number 23 says. And then we delighteth in His way. It's kind of like a circle that we continue to delight in the Lord. So let me ask you tonight, are you delighting in Him? Are you delighting in the Lord? Is that really what your delights are? Now listen, we can have a lot of delights. We would have a delight if the Cowboys could win a game. We could have delight for our favorite food, whether it's a steak or Mexican food or maybe some good banana splits or something like that. I mean, that is delightful. We can get all excited about all those things, but let me tell you something tonight. We need to get excited, and we need to be delighting in the Lord. Our teams will lose. We may not get our favorite snack or our favorite meal, but one thing we can always do, we can always delight in the Lord. Amen? Isn't that a good? That's good. And how can we do it? Well, we cannot fret not. So we need to control our walk. We need to condition our will. Number three, look at verse 5 and 6. Notice what it says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Number three, we need to commit our way. Commit your way. Now, again, there's a command and a comfort here. There's a principle and a promise. He says, commit thy way to the Lord. Then he repeats again, trust in the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. So we can commit our way to the Lord. Now, certainly we do that in prayer. We pray, we commit that to the Lord. But it's more than just prayer. It really is a way of life. Committing our way to the Lord. To commit our way to the Lord means that you're constantly saying to God, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, whatever is going on in my life, it's yours. It really is saying, Lord, hey, I'm yours. What I have is yours. What I go through is yours. What is going on in my life is all because you ordained it. Everything that's good is from you. Everything that's bad is from you. You're trying to teach me something. You're trying to conform me to your will. You're trying to conform me to your purpose. In fact, the little word commit here is something I found very interesting. And it literally means to roll away. All right, let me use this as an illustration. Brother Tony, come on up here for a second. Brother Tony's always calling the kids up here. I'm going to call him up here. Okay, Brother Tony, come here. All right. I thought about using this illustration as I haven't bowled in a while. In fact, we were thinking about going last night and trying it. And I really thought about maybe taking this and kind of, you know, right down the middle of the aisle and watch people scatter. That probably would not be a good idea. It might put some life into some of you, okay? But the word commit literally means to roll away, all right? It has the idea here of taking a heavy burden and actually giving it to somebody else, all right? It has a burden of taking all of the things that are good and all the things that are bad. And all the things that are ugly in our life. And taking it and committing it unto the Lord. Taking it and, Brother Tony, rolling it. Placing our burden onto somebody else. Now, listen, many of us are good at placing our burden on other people, aren't we? Just like I did with Brother Tony. Let him carry that 15-pound bowling ball. But that's not the purpose of what we needed to commit our way to the Lord. Thank you, Brother Tony. You can set that down. Just don't throw it back at me, okay? But see, we're not supposed to commit our way, our burdens to other people. We're supposed to give them unto the Lord. Let him take care of them. Let him carry them. Is that not the principle where he says, the psalmist says in Psalm 55, verse number 12, cast thy burden unto the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't it similar to what Peter's admission to us, to cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for you? Is that not what he was saying? It's an idea of rolling your whole life unto him. And have you done that? Have I done that? You know, when we roll our life unto the Lord, we don't get so out of shape. We don't get to a point where we succumb to the flesh and we live in the flesh. We realize that everything is ordained from the God, and God has given me burdens, and I'm supposed to take that burden, and I'm supposed to give it to Him. It kind of helps me live a little bit more joyful life. You say, "Oh, Brother Earl, that's difficult." I know it's difficult. I know many of you are going through some struggles right now. Many of you are going through some trials and temptations, and all of us have at times. But listen, that means the good, the bad, the ugly, all of this needs to be committed to God. And I want to challenge you tonight to recommit yourself to God tonight. To commit your life right now to God and say, "Lord, I'm in your hands. I know that your way is perfect, and I know that I need to trust you, and I know I need to obey you, and I need to find my joy in the Lord, and I need to find my delight in you, and I need to commit, I need to roll away my burdens unto you." And then notice in verse number 7, number 4, we need to consecrate our weight. Consecrate our weight. Now notice what it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." I am not a patient person. If I want something, I wanted it yesterday. All right? But how many times have the Lord told us to wait? Rest in Him. Wait patiently for Him. The word consecrate actually means to dedicate formally to a divine purpose. To dedicate something to a divine purpose. Do you know the word rest here? It's a beautiful word. And it means... Now get this. It means to be quiet. It means to be silent. Now, in contrast, the word fret means to blaze or get hot. Well, it carries the idea of getting ourselves worked up, all right? Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy for ourselves to get worked up about what's going on in the world, maybe what's going on in our family, what's going on in the valleys and the things that we walk through. And when we usually get worked up, I don't know about you, but you're usually seldom quiet, are you? Now, I'm speaking about myself. Why? Because when I get worked up, I am seldom very quiet. Why? Because I want people to know what I think. Or I want to ask people what they think. Or I want to do some talking here, okay? Why? Because that's difficult to do. But the Bible tells us to be patient and silent while the Lord works out His purpose in our lives. Did you get that? When things are in turmoil, when things may be not going right, and we have that sense of anger and wrath and feelings that are burning up inside us, and we want to do something about it. What does God say? "Hey, just sit still. Just sit still. Be silent. I've got a purpose for this." Doesn't the Bible say in Psalm 46, verse number 10, "Be still and know that I am God"? Seldom when we're still, we do realize that God is the Lord. When we're not still, we've taken our eyes off the Lord. And it's very, very difficult to be still and quiet. He says, "Rest in the Lord." Get silent. Wait on the Lord. And this is not easy. But this is, now listen to this, don't miss this. But wasn't this the attitude that was modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He was abused, when He was mocked, when He was on the cross and when He was being crucified? Did you notice He did not respond to what was going on around Him? But He endured His affliction in yielded silence. That's what Isaiah 53 verse number 7 says, where it says, "He openeth not His mouth." So many times we want to open our mouth, don't we? So many times when we open our mouth, sometimes we stick both feet in, don't we? But the Lord says, "Hey, be silent. Sit still. You know, the Lord wants us to speak to us in that small, still voice. I pray that He'll allow us to do that. Again, this isn't easy, but it's an attitude that God can bless and use for His glory. Now, did you know that in time, God always brings His perfect will to pass? Didn't He say, and Solomon said, God makes everything beautiful in His time? Yes, God can make a trial beautiful in its time. We don't always understand it, but He can. But He can. So fret not, my friend. Let's look at the last one. Be finished tonight. Number five, conquer your wrath. Now, He tells us not to fret not. And then He gives us all these things. Control your walk, condition your will, commit your way, consecrate your weight. And then He tells us in verse number 8, notice what He says. Cease from anger. Now, there's a little bit of anger when you fret. And He's telling us here, fret not, fret not, fret not. And then He gives us all these things of how to have a fruitful life. And then He reminds us of something here in verse number 8. Did you notice? Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You see, folks, we are commanded here to refrain from anger. It's easy to get bitter at God, isn't it? It's easy to get bitter at church, get bitter at pastor, maybe to get bitter at somebody at church because of something they've done. When the problems of life mount up against us, when we see the wicked lives of people that seem to live in ease, and we walk through the dark, dark valleys of our life, sometimes we have a tendency of getting angry at God, don't we? However, we must be careful that we do not abandon righteousness for evil in the day of affliction. We can't do it. There's always a connection between fear and anger. Did you know that? When you get anxious and you begin to take it out on everybody around you, that is not good. But the Bible here tells us to cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise, do evil. Listen, you're either going to live today by fear or by faith. And we all make that choice every day. We're going to live by fear or we're going to live by faith. And it's my prayer that you and I this year will live in faith to God. You know, God can be trusted with our lives, can't He? He can be trusted with our family. He can be trusted with our finances. He can be trusted with our future. He can be trusted with our fears. God can be trusted with everything. And it is God's will that we stay the course. Amen? And I want to leave you tonight with two words. And if you haven't heard anything else tonight, listen to those two words. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Now, I know all this sounds difficult. Sounds like we just sit back and allow life to take us where it will. But however, the truth is that the commands of these verses are a command to action. Not just a sit back, but a command to action. Hey, listen, control your walk, condition your will, commit your way, consecrate your weight, and conquer your wrath. And God is calling all of us to yield to Him. Hey, listen, I cannot control what happens in my life. I can't control it. But I can control how I respond to it. And I think that's so very important. I heard a quote this week that I thought was real good. Think less of the power of things over us and more of the power of Christ in us. That's good. I pray that tonight we'll determine this evening to seek the Lord's way and do His will and navigate our life from a fretful life to a fruitful life. Let's bow our heads and stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just simple principles from God's Word tonight. How is your life? Are you committed to Him? Are you consecrated to Him? Have you consecrated your weight? Have you conquered your wrath? Have you committed your way? Have you conditioned the wheel? How are you controlling your way? And let me say this tonight, the Lord wants to help you with that. The Lord doesn't want to have a fretful life. He wants us to have a fruitful life. I don't know what's going on in your life tonight, but you've heard two messages today over the peace in our life. And that peace comes from fretting not. Father, we're thankful for this evening. Thankful for a time that we can study around your word. I'm so thankful that, Lord, your word gives us hope. It helps us to understand what may be going on in our hearts and lives that we don't understand. But, Lord, you're in control. And it truly is our responsibility just to take all the good, the bad, the ugly that's in our life and just roll it upon you. Trust in you and delight in you and not live in the flesh. Lord, I pray we make decisions tonight that will stick with us for the rest of the year, that we set a precedent tonight of being Christians that are going to be on fire for you, that's going to take these five principles and apply them to their life. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If God's dealt with your heart tonight, what are you fretting about? If God's dealt with your heart tonight, you come.